Hello, I'm Teresa Ayers.
And I'm Janet Gallen.
And this is...
Love Letters Live. And this is a show about love letters. And we say a lot about it, Teresa and I, every week. And one of the things we say is that it's a gift custom designed by you for one person, as a rule, on this planet. And it's something that will never go out of style, will be just as good 10 years reading and 50 years. And it is your chance to put your best self to paper.
Mm-hmm.
And in answer to the question, do you have to have a heart full of love to write a love letter? The answer is a resounding no, you don't. You can have a heart full of acrimony and ambivalence and just be ticked off and still write a gorgeous love letter because you've prepared and thought about it and focused on the good part.
Always on the good.
Yes. So I want to go right to our guest today. We have another wonderful guest. This is Suzanne Weiss, who has been for over 30 years a theater and opera critic and now writes for various publications and website reviews. So, Suzanne, I'm going to go right to you, and I know that you came on this show because there is a letter lurking in there that you want to write, and I'm going to ask you just to please talk about what led up to your writing this love letter, your family history and the exact specifics, because it was such a delicious story.
Hi, Janet.
Hi, Suzanne.
Thank you. I guess I am your ambivalence and acrimony poster child.
Let's
for
have
today.
It.
Once upon a time, many, many years ago, there was a game in vogue called Mahjong.
Yes.
I was gifted with an exquisite set, really custom-made for me in Hong Kong.
Can you just take 1 minute to describe it? Because I don't know if a lot of our listeners have even ever seen a Mahjong set. They're beautiful tactically and visually.
This one
describe
had
it.
The usual many Mahjong tiles with the symbols on them.
White tiles, smooth, is that?
Well, mine is very unusual. I've never seen one like it. It's like a sandwich, a layer of powder blue lucite, and then a layer of clear lucite.
Wow.
And then on the bottom side is the tile with the characters. It's quite unique.
Okay.
When I moved from Chicago to the Bay Area 15 years ago, I hadn't touched this set in perhaps 30 years. I played as a young bride, but then I became a very busy mother and a full-time working mother. So I didn't know what to do with this thing, which is rather large. And I asked an aunt of mine if she would like it. Now, to my aunt. My aunt, who is now 89 years old, has been a very important part of my life. I have to say, I love her dearly, with all of her faults. And I thought the same went for me.
That she felt the same?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. That was badly put. Sorry.
No, that's all right. I just want to,
So I asked her if she still played, and she said, oh, yes. And I said, well, let me give you this. I don't know if I said give you this or leave this with you. It was too long ago to remember.
I have a feeling this will be for the lawyers to sort out the exact wording.
Well, it's not going to come
to
that. So I did. And I went merrily off to San Francisco and then ultimately to Oakland and pursued my life until a couple of years ago when, lo and behold, Mahjong came back. And
into your life?
Into almost everybody's
life. Oh, into Vogue.
I mean, it stopped being a 50s thing, and everybody, you know, like knitting.
Rediscovered
everything
it,
old
okay.
is new
yes.
again.
Uh-huh.
So, I took some, not lessons, but I went to a group that was meeting locally, and I began to play. And not very often, once a month. But every time I sat down, I said, I had the most beautiful Mahjong set. I wonder what happened to it. I searched my house high and low.
Oh, you'd forgotten.
I had forgotten where it was.
Uh-huh.
And I thought perhaps I had moved from Glencoe, Illinois, to one apartment in San Francisco, then to another apartment in San Francisco, and finally to the home that we bought in the East Bay. I thought I got lost in one of the moves. A year ago, I was visiting my dear aunt in Chicago at Thanksgiving time, and she suddenly mentioned something about that gorgeous Mahjong set that I gave her. You have it? Wow. Do you use it? And she said, oh, no, I haven't played in a long time. And I said, well, would you mind if I took it back? Because I do play again. And she said, well, I don't have it. And I said, well, who does? My girlfriend. I gave it to her. I lent it to her. So I said, well, since I didn't know her girlfriend, I had no compunctions. I said, can we get it back from her? Oh, it's going to be very difficult. On and on. Finally, she very coldly said, I will arrange to have it sent to you. And I said, oh, wonderful. And I will bear all the expense. And she said, believe me, you will. Well, the expense ended up to be a couple of $100s.
Why?
And because they shipped it UPS, and she commissioned her doorman to go and pick it up from her friend and wrap it, which he did not do very well because the box came broken, but I never mentioned that.
Saint that you are, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I love my aunt.
Yes.
I'm going to try and capsule this so we can get to the letter.
Sure.
I am very, very happy to have my set. I am now playing, since I've turned into an old lady, weekly or a couple of times a month.
Good
I have
for
a
you.
Regular game, and I love to host it at my house because everybody goes, oh, I love this set. My aunt, on the other hand, has been extremely cool.
Now, you've talked to her several times
oh,
since,
yes,
and she's cold
times.
To you.
Many times.
And you call her?
I call her once
to be,
in
to
a while.
Say hello
I had some surgery last year, so she called me, and then she was nice. I send her birthday cards. I call her to see how she is. And
but she's consistently cold to you, pretty much.
Cool.
Okay.
Now, this aunt, when my mother died, I sort of took her over as my surrogate mother. We were mm-hmm. very, very close. And I keep thinking this coolness is typical, perhaps understandable, and it will pass.
Typical and understandable, why?
Well, because that's my aunt's personality.
Oh, okay.
She has had feuds with other people.
Ah, okay.
So I'm determined to wait it out, except for one thing. Her name came up when I was in conversation with my youngest daughter, who lives in Marin, quite recently. And my daughter said, oh, Mom, I forgot to tell you. When I went back to Chicago for my high school reunion, I ran into our cousin Liz, who is a young woman my daughter's age. And, you know, the first thing she said to me was, what happened between your mother and Aunt Ruth?
Oh, backfence communication, old-fashioned, how nice.
And then I realized that mm-hmm. she must be talking about me mm-hmm. to my relatives back in Chicago.
Oh.
And ouch, that hurts.
I see, okay.
And so now I
Because you're not there to answer for yourself.
I can't stand up for myself.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm not only... You know, I was sort of amused at the whole incident. Regretful that she
yes.
was angry, but
yes.
I thought she'd get over it. But now I'm a little angry. And I would like to say something to her, but I don't want to make a bad situation
okay.
worse.
Okay. Oh, that is just delicious. That's like the most, one of the most million wonderful reasons to write a good letter. So why don't you...
I'll just remind our mm-hmm. listeners that this is KUSF 90.3 FM. Happy to have you here this week and every week.
Thank you. Okay, let's get back to writing this letter. Now, this letter has not been written. Every once in a while, a guest will come with a letter already written. Most often not, and we kind of block it out. But I'm thinking we might have enough time to really do it because I can see that there's so much ready to come out of you. So you want to write her a letter that does what?
That tells her that I care very much about her.
Okay. So this isn't going to be, I mean, as angry as you are, you're seeing the value of putting the positive. And, if I may just say, one of the things about writing a good letter is even if you are furious, just ticked off to the depths of your soul, you can't just start right in, I know, because I've done it myself and it doesn't work out. You can't because the person won't read it. So you got to get the medicine down for it to help. So, sugar and the poison
tell her
here.
That mm-hmm. I care very much about her. That, well, this is parenthetically.
That's right. We're going to write it all down. Okay. Just talk freely because then you're going to look at it and.
Mm-hmm. I was very ill a couple of years ago, and I don't want to rub it into my aunt that she herself is 89.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a heightened consciousness of the fragility of life.
Ah.
I don't know how much longer people will have.
Say what you feel while you still have the
clean
chance.
This up.
Yes.
I would, this is just again to you, I would hate to have my aunt pass away.
This shouldn't be just to us.
Okay.
This should be to her in some really nice way.
Well, that's hard to say.
No, it's not going to be. We're going to talk.
I don't want to say you're an old lady, but. And I'm an old lady.
You don't have.
But.
You
so,
might say that to no, take the
yeah.
sting out, but you don't have to. Go
that's
ahead. Keep
thought.
Talking. Keep
that's
talking.
That I think it's very unfortunate that at our stage in life we can't forgive.
Mm hmm.
It's not like I'm an axe murderer.
See, that's good.
But, here comes the big but. I don't think I could write it this way, but it has come to my attention
mm-hmm.
that other people in the family in Chicago have heard of, if not the incident, the animosity
mm-hmm.
that she's feeling toward me, though I feel none toward her.
Do you know something? You're saying, of course I can't say it this way, and then out of your mouth comes a golden ray of perfect, I think. I think just the way you said that is gorgeous, don't you, mm-hmm. Teresa? Just beautiful.
I'm a writer, babe.
I know, but you're saying, I know you are, and you're really a good one, because I read your reviews and articles.
Thank
you're
you.
Wonderful. But let's just point out that that has nothing to do with the emotional turmoil you feel when you have to mm-hmm. say something personal and difficult.
Right.
Because as beautiful and perfect as I think that was, you're saying, well, I can't say it that way, and I'm saying, yes, it was perfect. So say it again. Come to my attention.
It's
that
come to my attention. By chance, that other people in the family have learned of this rift between us, and that makes me very sad.
It's a wonderful thing to say. Okay.
I don't know if I should say I'm not there to defend myself.
Yes, yes. I'm not there to speak for myself. You don't even have to put
okay.
yourself in the position of defend.
Right.
I don't think.
I'm not
mm-hmm.
there to join in this conversation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm not there. Go ahead.
I'm not sure if you were to say that, would it imply that you have your side of the story that you would like to, you know, tell or defend yourself? I kind of like the
okay.
first. I kind of like the first way better, which is
speak for myself.
Like speak for myself.
That's what I've written
okay.
down. That's what I thought too.
Yeah.
Okay. Not defend because.
Okay.
Yes.
Speak for myself.
Right.
Well, there is a slight onus on me, and I'll tell you what that is. When I left her that year ago Thanksgiving Day, and I said, you know, I'm really sorry if you're upset about this,
mm-hmm.
but I'm so thrilled to have this possession back. And she did say, well, you know. It's not right to give a gift and then ask for its return.
Neither is it right to get a gift and give it to some girlfriend, Sally, and forget about it for 2 years.
I quite agree with you.
So
I did not give her that answer.
Right, and no, I know you wouldn't, but I'm just saying that occurred to me right away. And I'm wondering if she doesn't feel a little guilty about that.
Oh, I think she does.
So I think that's a big nugget here.
Part of the problem, and it was also a little bit defaced. Some of the tiles were marked.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to do that.
Why can't you say, I know that in giving this Mahjong set away, it never occurred to you that I would want it back. Mm-hmm. Let her off the hook.
Great idea.
Because I think when you first told that story, I thought, oh, she's feeling guilty about having just... I was raised very specifically, and I wonder if you two were also part of the rules of living in when we were growing up, was, oh, you don't ever give a gift away, honey. If that was a gift, so you have to keep it. You can't just give it to someone else. There was something sacred about a gift.
My husband is like that. If somebody gives him a candy bar, won't allow me to serve it to anybody else.
That's right. He could share it with you, but you can't just give it away. That was his gift.
Right.
This is 40s and 50s lore, mm-hmm. people. But, you know, there you have it. So, okay. So I think you should acknowledge that. Yes.
I'd lost your drift.
That I forgot what to acknowledge that she didn't do anything wrong by, she didn't give it away. She never knew you'd want it back. You seemed like you would never. So she gave it to someone else who might enjoy it. And you understand that she didn't do anything mean or wrong by giving it. So let's phrase that in some way.
And also, I think you've kind of, what's running through my mind right now as far as my wanting it back is these things happen.
Yes.
And they just do.
Mm-hmm.
Things change. And I do think she was acting out of embarrassment that she had given it away.
Well, and there was a misunderstanding that she thought it was that the set was a gift to her when your understanding was that it was left with her for safekeeping or whatever.
No,
so,
but you said she didn't remember what she said.
Don't clearly recall that.
Mm-hmm. But I think there's something legit.
But I think keep it for me would be something that I would say, because to tell you the truth, it was a gift to me from an aunt on my former husband's side who was very, very dear to me.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, perhaps it was wrong for me to give it away.
Yeah, sure.
So perhaps I did give it to her for safekeeping. I really don't
remember. But I think I like what you said. Sometimes things change in life. And you were very clear to say, do you play? And it wasn't until you were assured that she wasn't using it.
That's correct.
That you asked it back. So that was obviously a sensitive way to do it. And I remind her of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, if I remind her of that, it's only going to make her angrier.
Mm-hmm. I agree with it.
Okay, well, you can think about that. I'm going to write it down, and you can do what you want with it. Okay. And then there were some other things you said in the beginning, which I think should be part of this good love letter, is how much she's always meant to you. Talk about that.
She was my mother to me, if not to her. I no longer had a mother. And this is not a little child crying for her mother. Mm-hmm. My mother only died about 18 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But for the first... Well, always, when I go back to Chicago, I never fail to look her up, to be with her. In recent years, she's become a little more reluctant to be with me. I don't think that's anything personal, but she's always busy, busy, busy.
Since this incident? Or
no,
just
always.
As life went on?
Oh, I see. As life went on.
Mm-hmm.
But we always used to meet. We had a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I care about her. As you grow older, the people who are meaningful to you start disappearing out of your life.
Yes.
If they disappear by natural causes,
mm-hmm.
by death or moving away,
mm-hmm.
that's one thing. If they disappear because of a stupid incident like this, I think it's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Really
sad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm here for your help.
Okay, I think everything you said is just the most beautiful letter. And I think that's the trick, and that's the thing that Teresa and I talk about a lot, which is your truth put to paper in the most loving and compassionate way is really the perfect love letter. Who could ask for anything more?
I'm thinking, as you're doing, about how the recipient will take it and receive it.
Mm-hmm. We have to think about that,
yes,
too.
Yes, I am too, Teresa. I thank you for being sensitive mm-hmm. to that, because I don't know.
Well, I wonder, Jen, and I wonder about the juxtaposition of starting out by talking about all these loving things and how you're at the top of my list when I come to Chicago, you know, to visit you and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, by the way, we're having this,
good
you
point.
Know, to-do. Or do you kind of lead with that, which is the real purpose of the letter,
and I think so. That's what I'm writing it as. I mean, and I think that's instinctively why I asked it like that, because yes, there is something kind of sneaky
yes.
about I love you so much, and why are you talking behind my back?
It's coming in the back door.
Right.
Yeah.
So this,
which people tend to resent.
But to start with, you know, I care very much about, I'm writing, dear, I don't know how you call her, what do you say?
Aunt Ruth.
Dear Aunt Ruth. Okay. I didn't know if you had a nickname or something. Okay, dear Aunt Ruth, I'm writing this letter to you because I care so much about you and always have. And just period. And then I was ill a couple of months ago and personally have a heightened awareness of how temporary and fragile life is and how important it is to make sure that peace is made all around and we say what we feel while we still have the chance. And interestingly enough, I don't think you need to get from one paragraph to another with such perfect segue. I think you can just say the things you have to say paragraph by paragraph. And every one of them seems lovely, and I even like that, you know, to it would be unfortunate at our age not to forgive each other for unintentional slights, and then I am not, after all, an axe murderer. Just a little levity in there. Put things in perspective. Right. I think everything you said should be in there.
Right? Okay.
And
you're
I,
the letter doctor.
And I'm the letter. We're the love we're letter the, squad, me and Teresa are here. Okay, so and then to end, to get all the stuff out that you want to say, and then in my head and heart, you were my mother to me when my mother died, and I know I wasn't a child at that point, but you still filled that role, and you were important to me. I've always come to you when I'm in Chicago. It was the natural place for me to be. Just these positive things, and I think there's something.
Yeah.
I think there's something really nice with having. That's why we have dessert after dinner, I guess, after the meal. After your fish oil and vegetables, then you get something sweet, and that's what you're left with. And I think it's really nice to leave a letter, to have the last thing a person reads, the you're so important to me, you were always like a mother to me.
Okay.
And I think this is not going to be too terribly long. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you everything I wrote down, because people say things and then forget about them. You know, very often you'll say something and somebody will say, what did you just say? And I don't know. What did I just say? I do that all the time. So write it down as you're thinking it and saying it. Don't leave anything out. And then call it for the things that are best. So I'm going to give you this so you remember all these wonderful things you said.
You know, I've just thought about something else. I think it's lovely the way it's starting. I wonder, starting with, you know, you're very important to me. And I wonder, how about adding something to the effect that, and your opinion of me has always been so important, something to that. Because is that not
true?
You care about how she feels about you. Obviously,
mm-hmm.
you do.
Mm-hmm.
Or you wouldn't be writing this letter.
Well,
would that
secretly,
be nice
between us, it's because she can be very mean when she disapproves.
Mm-hmm. And that's and that's hurtful, right?
And we all know about that.
Yes, we do.
So, you know, and I've forgiven her for many things over the years because I know how she is.
Okay.
But this talking about me really pushed me over the edge.
Okay,
well, sure.
So maybe you could say a little bit more about that.
I don't
mean to say pushed you over the edge. I would like something like, I would like to be able to count in the future that if we have something upsetting us, we talk only to each other.
Fabulous.
Uh-huh.
But I underline, so let's talk, or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, perfect.
Mm-hmm. Because we're not talking.
Right? Not really talking.
Not right? really, yeah. No.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And then how would you sign this? Just Love Suzanne? Or
no, Love Sue, because
okay.
that's my Chicago name.
Okay.
That's my childhood name.
S-U-E.
Yes.
Okay.
I hate it.
Now let's talk about one other thing, if we can.
I know. I've listened to your show, Janet. Okay. You're going to ask me what kind of paper
yeah.
I'm
oh,
going
good.
To.
I love that.
And
I love that.
I have already decided
oh,
on a beautiful sheet of very nice paper. I think I got it in Prague, actually.
Oh, so you're
and
giving her
very,
another treasure.
It's very Art Deco. It's got yes. a little Art Deco motif on the side. However, I must tell you, I have abysmal handwriting.
Oh, good.
Nobody can read my writing. And I was going to ask your permission.
Yes.
Since I just got my computer back last night from the computer doctor, to put it in a beautiful italic script.
Okay, let's
on
talk.
The
yes,
computer.
By all means. And one of the issues is I've done this myself, and I'm always talking about handwriting. I know it doesn't look so bad your handwriting there, but a whole letter of it might be hard for her to read. She's older, and I say for older people, it's sometimes a kindness to make it easy to read. I go so far as to use Chicago, which doesn't even have a serif on it. I mean, it's so blatant because it's easy to read. So you can think about that, but your signature, of course.
Of course.
And the address on the envelope.
Yes.
Because the first thing she should see should be your handwriting. She should know how much you put into it, that you touched the envelope, that it's a personal thing. So
I'm sure she won't go, yuck, and take it straight to
no,
the
put a heart stick. Put a heart sticker on it or something. Too much?
No, I don't
no can do?
Do heart stickers. Thanks.
Okay, what about the stamp? You can do a loving stamp. They have fabulous stamps. Some say celebrate. They've got a wonderful series now. It's like a quilt, and it says celebrate in the letters. There's the
yeah.
lavender heart. There are all kinds of beautiful ones. Just don't use the dung beetle.
The what?
The dung beetle from the insect collection of stamps.
No, I'm...
Because when you see a little heart in the stamp, you know that it's a loving letter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
So that'll be your little heart.
Thank you.
Okay.
You know, you started out, Janet, by asking a really important question, and that you asked, Suzanne, what is your goal in writing this letter?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a critical point in when anyone writes a love letter anyway, is, no, what's the point here? And that helps direct the love letter.
Yes. So you want to just say, what is your goal?
Because
I know this has been roiling around for a while.
It's perhaps a twofold or threefold goal. One is to let her know that it has come back to me that she is gossiping about me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that, so you've got that in here squarely.
That's mm-hmm. eating me up, and I need to get rid of it because anger only corrodes the person who
yes.
is angry.
Yes. Isn't that the
I
truth?
I don't want to be the angry one.
Right.
I really want to get rid of it.
Right.
And I want her to know that I care about her and that this rift, which I see no end to...
Mm-hmm. Oh, there will be.
I know, but I don't want that to be one of us dropping dead.
No, I didn't mean that.
Yeah.
That
but,
end. And by the way, that's not an end to a rift.
No, it's not.
Dropping,
you,
oh, let's
you
say this.
Have to, you
carry
have to
it forever.
Continue the
that's
conversation.
Right. Dropping dead is never an end to a rift. It is a guarantee that it will last into eternity.
No,
yes.
I agree with you.
Okay.
I don't want to carry.
Okay. So that's
you know,
the
something
goal.
Something should happen.
Perfect.
I don't want to.
So you're going to send this out, I know, pretty soon.
Probably.
Okay. And not that you ever give a gift like this for something in return, because that's not what we do. This is a gift to her. This is a gift to her. Having said that, if something wonderful happens from it, will you let us know and then we can share it with our listeners?
I surely will. What about if something awful happens?
We want to know that, too.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. We invite all of our guests and listeners to let us know what happens. Let us know your questions. Please write to us at info@loveletterslive.com. We're getting very close to the end of our time together this week. Unfortunately, this conversation could go on and on. But we thank you for joining us and hope you'll tune in every week at this time to Love Letters Live. We encourage you to put your loving thoughts and sentiments into words and send them while you still have the chance.
And if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, just remember that writing a love letter is a special occasion, and sometimes discomfort and anger can just be the special occasion you need.
So, until next week, with love from Teresa
and Janet.
Bye-bye.
Bye.